Do not be afraid, for I am with you. You will grieve for a time, but your grief will turn to joy. Trust. Trust in the presence and the power of God. The greatest disturbers of peace in those who are sincerely seeking to follow the Lord are fear and anxiety and discouragement. And the antidote for all of these is to trust. How much we struggle to trust. Sometimes we think it's just a natural thing that either we have or we don't have. But as in the gospel, we know that Jesus asked the man if he believed, and he said, "Lord, I do believe. Help my lack of trust." And again, Jesus, on the way to raising the little girl from the dead, said, "Fear is useless. What is needed is trust." Every time we're struggling with fear, anxiety, or discouragement, it's an opportunity to exercise trust, to pray for trust. Trust is all about focusing on our Lord, believing in Him. This morning, as I was reading John Henry Newman, I came upon this passage of his that's rather well known, and it's all about trust. God has created me to do Him some definite service. He has committed some work to me which He has not committed to any other. I have my mission. I may never know it in this life, but I shall be told it in the next. I have a part in a great work. I am a link in a chain, a bond of connection between persons. He has not created me for naught. I shall do good. I shall do His work. I shall be an angel of peace, a preacher of truth in my own place, while not intending it, if I do but keep His commandments and serve Him in my calling. Therefore, I will trust Him. Whatever, wherever I am, I can never be thrown away. If I am in sickness, my sickness may serve Him. In perplexity, my perplexity may serve Him. If I am in sorrow, my sorrow may serve Him. My sickness or perplexity or sorrow may be necessary causes of some great end, which is quite beyond us. He does nothing in vain. He may prolong my life, He may shorten it. He knows what He is about. He may take away my friends, He may throw me among strangers. He may make me feel desolate, make my spirit sink, hide the future from me. Still, He knows what He is about. Trust. The struggle to trust. How do we spell it out in our lives? To trust means to really rely on the Lord. The struggle to rely on Him. Paul ended by settling there for a year and a half, teaching the Word of God. When he had his dream, when he was told that I will be with you, do not be afraid, he believed it. He trusted. He relied on the Lord. The mother took her children to the circus for the first time. In the midst of it all, one of her children turned to her and said, "Mommy," as she watched the trapeze artists, "aren't they afraid?" And a man behind them said, "No, honey, they're not afraid. They trust each other." How much we need to appreciate that everything we're worried about, every fear, anxiety we bring here to this retreat, is something God foresaw for all eternity, something God is well aware of, and something God is the one who can help us to deal with it. St. Teresa's prayer is so beautiful. It says, "Let nothing disturb you, let nothing frighten you, all things past. God alone remains. Patience accomplishes all. He who possesses God lacks nothing. God alone suffices." So often Father Hardin will say, in the midst of some impending crisis, I only want to do what God wants, to trust in God. It's that security, it's that great need we all have to work at trust. But besides working at trust and relying on God, we have to really work at understanding what's going on. We can't always understand, but we need to try. In the Gospel today, our Lord constantly gives us examples, analogies to help us understand. He says when a woman is in labor, she goes through this period of sorrow and pain, but eventually it's changed into joy. If we could just look at every cross, every trial in our lives as a period of labor, a period of pregnancy. Today we start the 9-day novena for Pentecost, the first novena. And if you think about it, novenas are very much like pregnancy. The 9 months of pregnancy, the 9 days of praying. A time where we're really called to struggle through things and anticipate and look forward to the joy that lies beyond them. Here on retreat, we're called to struggle through repentance and reparation and dealing with things that our Lord brings to the surface in these quiet times of solitude. To really be willing to take those on and deal with them rather than put them aside or put them behind us. As you're well aware, one of the things I typically do in confession is give scriptural passages. And when somebody's really struggling and overwhelmed, I will typically give Psalm 22, which is the one that Jesus prayed on the cross. My God, why have you forsaken me? A beautiful dialogue between grief being realized and expressed and remembering God's providential action. But I remember you led us out of the land of Egypt into the promised land. Well, I recall doing this one time to a retreatant who was doing the 30-day retreat with me, and I didn't hear from him for a few days on his retreat. And for whatever reason, the Lord inspired me to think now, you know, not all Bibles are numbered the same way. The RSV, you know, and the Douay Rheims are not numbered the same way. The Douay Rheims and the Protestant version of the same all have the old numbering of the Psalms. And I thought to myself, he's a very conservative young man. I thought, maybe he's got this old translation of the Bible. So I looked up Psalm, you know, there's a difference in numbering. So I looked up what would be Psalm 21 in my Bible and 22 in his if he had the old one. And sure enough, it was a pretty devastating indictment against sinners. You know, oh my goodness, this poor man, he was really being challenged to understand and to trust. So often misunderstanding demands of us that we really unload to the Lord. Psalm 22, the real Psalm 22, or the one that's in most translations, is all about unloading what we don't understand, so that in our struggle to trust God, we might be inspired to better understand. Father Hardin, you recall one of the talks yesterday, says that the devil is constantly trying to steal the faith of those who do not understand what they believe. We must struggle to understand. Understand the truth of the faith. Understand how it applies to our lives. Understand why this seems to be in conflict with what we're dealing with. To really integrate into our lives the truth of faith along with dealing with our perceptions, our thoughts, and our feelings. So trust calls us to struggle to trust God and to rely on Him and to understand what's happening in our lives. But trust also calls us to surrender. Into your hands, O Lord, I commend my spirit, Jesus says on the cross. Surrender what? Remember in one of the talks, Father Hardin mentioned about pleasure is about what I want, my will. And happiness is about God's will. Somehow throughout our lives, we constantly keep struggling and thinking that the pleasure we seek will give us happiness. Whereas the reality is God's will give us happiness. And the other thing we struggle with is we cannot be perfectly happy here. We are called to be at peace here and to find perfect happiness hereafter. Several of the families, the retreat families that I know, have puppies. And in this day and age, it seems like a way that you housebreak puppies now is you put them in a little cage when they're in the house and then immediately you take them outside and so forth. Anyway, one time when I was visiting retreat, and so I looked over at this puppy in the cage and I said, you know, I bet this puppy doesn't realize it, but this is not his plight in life. Maybe this puppy thinks he's going to be in this cage the rest of his life. Maybe he has no idea of why he's in this cage. As I thought about that, you know, it's the same way with us. We build a little cage around ourselves with the particular obsessions and addictions to pleasure that we have. And it really keeps us from being free. It's very much like this puppy who is waiting to be housebroken so that he can be free. He doesn't know that. And sometimes we don't know that we've encaged ourselves through a particular tendency towards sin or a particular thing in our lives that we go on and on. Just think how many people in our day and time are caged in by an addiction to TV or an obsession with food or drink. The Lord wants us to realize that it's in letting go of what is controlling our lives that we can truly find the peace and surrender to God. St. Augustine beautifully said, "Trust the past to the mercy of God, the present to the love of God, and the future to the providence of God." We need that action in life that is truly living trust of God in our lives. If we trust God, we will revere Him. We will truly embrace Him. We will let go of the things in our lives that control us. The prayer of Ignatius of Antioch was, when thy ways are beyond understanding, I will adore you in silent trust. To surrender our understanding, to surrender our solution, our agenda to God, is what frees us to embrace what He has in mind. And finally, trust is to really and constantly turn to God, to transform our lives. But your grief will turn to joy. In the movie Apollo 13, one of the most striking scenes to me is where Jim Lovell is stranded in space, seemingly, and they're interviewing, they're showing old interviews of him. And one of the questions on a televised interview, as he's up there in space and his family's worrying, is the reporter asking the question, well, what was the most scary experience you had in flight? Of course, his answer after Apollo 13 would be different, but then his answer was, well, I was flying out of Japan and I was out over the ocean at night and I lost my navigation instruments. And he said, and then the next thing that happens was I lost all of my instrument lighting. There I was, out of the ocean in total darkness with no hope of being able to find my way home. He said, at that moment I said a silent prayer and realized I would probably have to eject and hope they would find me. He said, as I said my silent prayer, I looked down and I saw in the ocean a luminous trail of light. And I looked at it and I realized it was the algae being generated by the ships as they trucked back into harbor. And he said, in my prayer, I realized God had unveiled to me a way home. But if the lights in my cockpit had never gone out, I would have never been able to see that trail of lights leading me home. That's the reality of turning to God when the lights go out in our lives. And sometimes the Lord has to keep turning out lights until we finally see He who is light. Let us this noon and retreat realize that we need to pray, really pray for trust, and ask God to help us to exercise trust and to see it as the needed antidote for all the fears and anxieties and discouragements in our life. Our Lord is saying to each of us what He said to Paul: do not be afraid. I will be with you. Let us now offer our petition.